And we have 7 o'clock straight up with coordinated coordinated universal time, WWV. QST, 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 this is Tom Fry, KF6Q, Net Control for the Net Tech Tuesday Net and the Net Tuesday Net at 1900 hours local time on the BBARC repeater. 147.330 megahertz, offset of 600 kilohertz, and a PL of 131.8. This net is conducted every Tuesday at 1900 hours, conditions permitting. This repeater is solely owned, operated, and maintained by the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club. We wish to thank the BBARC for the use of the repeater for this net. The purpose of this net is to provide and promote technical knowledge, education, and information of amateur radio, a gateway to spark interest in various aspects of amateur radio communications. Before I begin, is there any emergency or priority traffic? Please call KF6Q. Hearing none, are there any bulletins or announcements for the net? Please call KF6Q.
KJ6BCK. Well, I don't know how much of an important announcement it is for other people, but it is for me. Just this past week, I got into UCLA, and I'm going to be studying physics at the College of Letters and Sciences.
Well, Adam, congratulations. That is a great announcement. Future... what would we call you, astrophysicist, or just whatever, physicist?
Yeah, that's just about it, just physicist or theoretical physicist mainly. I'm just looking into the small stuff, as it were. But now, hopefully in college, I'll be able to further my interests in both physics and amateur radio.
Well, good news there, Adam. Glad to hear that. And by the way, I'll check you in for this evening. If you can hang out, great. Good deal. Glad to hear you out there. Any other announcements out there? All right. A couple announcements here. Upcoming this month. Of course, we have the CERT class ongoing this week, and they will graduate Friday. Swearing in Monday, there will be a class for them, basically a review class for the tech. Anybody that you know out there who could use that to get their tech license, let them know. More information will be available. Please send me an email, kf6q@arrl.net. Also, Big Bear Amateur Radio Club repeater is so kind. The club is so kind to let us use this repeater. If you ever think of joining the club, help supporting this repeater with the great footprint that it has, helping in all local and slightly not local, distant emergencies and groups, DCS, CERT, and anything else that's going on out there. Please visit the site, bbarc.org. We have a lot of information there, and there's some applications there. Great deal for what it's worth. And hope you enjoy this evening. All right, topic for the evening. We will be discussing a de-expedition out of the QST magazine called South of 60. We have the April edition, and that's where we're going to be. And I do believe it starts on page 66. So... coming up here shortly. All right, go through the roster, a brief roster, starting with WB6CLZ, Mike. I believe you're in Placentia.
Well, yeah, we're stuck down here for a few more days. Yes, good evening, Tom, and everyone on the net. This is WB6CLZ in Placentia.
Good deal there, Mike. Boy, we've been having some beautiful weather, just getting warmer and warmer. It's going to be staying warmer. It's, of course, your Orange County won't be too bad for you down there. So glad to have you with you once and again, as always. And my gosh, going on year number three here, Mike. Okay, WB6CIN, Cindy.
Good evening, evening, Tom, and everyone on the net. This is WB6CIN.
All right, Cindy. Good deal. Glad to have you out there. Of course, your signal's always better than Mike. I have to say that. KA6CIA, George.
Good evening, KA6CIA.
George, glad to have you out there this evening from Lucerne Valley. How's the weather been down there, just real quick?
Oh, it's perfect. Barbara and I took a ride all over the dirt roads in the desert today.
Well, good deal. I think the gentleman that was on Simplex with you the other night, I think he's coming down to camp for a bit, so maybe he could swing by. All right, moving on down the list here. Don't see anybody on Echolink currently, so I will move ahead to KJ6HCS, Mike.
Ben Tom Nanette, KJ6HCS, no traffic.
All right, Mike, hey. Also, while I'm talking to you, a little announcement I forgot. Boy, how'd that slip my mind? Of course, I am in the far south end here of Sugarloaf on the upslope, 7,250 plus or minus, depending on whose GPS you use. Something I have never seen here and hasn't been here for a long time. We had 14 burros from the big guys to the babies in the National Forest. Didn't wander down on the streets. They were not a problem. And actually saw one come back again today. That was Sunday. So they're starting to hang out in great multitudes. Mike, you ever see those over there?
No, not on the west end here. Yeah, there was a traffic collision the other night. Someone hit a burro off of 38 up there just below Onyx.
I know they've been hauled off for their own safety to a good home many times. They never get them all. they don't. That's sad to hear that. All right, Mike. Glad to hear you out there. And we'll give a courtesy check-in for your dad, K6EKX, if he's listening. And moving on down, before I forget him here, WA6ITC. Rod, are you out there? And nothing heard. KJ6FIL, Mike in Redlands.
Good evening, everybody. KJ6FIL.
All right, good evening there, Mike. Yeah, snow's really, really going away up here. Oh, well. More fun next year with the tractor. Quad trips. KJ6KDL, Jim.
KJ6KDL with KDK here.
All right, Jim, Rosemary, glad to have you back in town. And, yeah, good to hear you out there on the radio. So we'll get together with your gear. Let's see here, moving on down. I haven't heard him in a while. Let's just move right on down to Kelly, KI6IQA, over there, eastern side.
Good evening, KI6IQA.
Good evening, Kelly. I think the burros are coming over here because you guys are kicking them out of there. I'm not sure. Or they're getting overrun and populated. I don't know. Good to hear you out there, Kelly. Thanks for being out there. K6GBL, Ron in Green Valley.
Good morning. Good evening, Tom in the net. This is Ron, K6GBL.
It is morning. Like Japan. That's okay. We've always heard that. It's 5 o'clock someplace. Well, it's 8 o'clock in the morning somewhere, too. Thanks, Bron, from Green Valley. Thanks to have you out there. I don't know if she's out there listening this evening. Give a call for Ann in 6BOP. And nothing heard. How about Harold, 86PL, Riverside?
Even 86PL.
Harold, were you or any of your friends able to go to that air show? I know they had a cloud cover, so they probably did a low show, as they call it. Did you get a chance to get out there?
I never go in the airport. There are too many people in there. The Southern SoCal Air, they call it, that controls all the airspace in Southern California, will not let them do anything until the bottom of the clouds are 1,000 foot or higher. So we had mist during the morning. At about noon, it started to clear off and it raised up, and had a pretty good show during the afternoon. I sit over down the streetways and watched it. I'm not interested in watching canines and all that stuff. I see that out here on the street. But had a good show. Had a very good show. Hope everybody enjoyed it that came down here. 86, yeah.
Harold, yeah, I saw one out in March when it wasn't reserve. It was still Air Force, and had one year that way. Also saw one crystal clear down there when it was still Naval Air Station, Miramar, so, and Top Gun School was right there still. Awesome show. All right, moving on to K6LCS. Quint, are you out there this evening? And nothing heard. Let's see here. I know these critters are back in town. I wonder if they're listening. How about W6JLM, Judith?
This is W6JLM. Yes, we are back in town, and yes, we are listening. And I just want to say to Adam, congratulations, and go Bruins!
All right, isn't that great? Kid's been working very hard. That's Tom Monroe's nephew, I believe, and he took his test same time that I believe Ben, Weatherman Ben, Craig, SoCal Mountains, one of the fire chiefs, Kay. I mean, they had a great group that day, and everybody passed. Fantastic. Congratulations again, Adam. All right, moving over to W6KMM, Ken.
Good evening, Tom, and everyone on the net. I'll be listening.
All right, Ken, Judith, glad to have you back. Glad to have you just checking in out there. I don't want to forget KJ6, PYB Dave, search or go south.
Good evening, Tom, everyone on the net. KJ6, PYB, checking in.
All right, Dave, thanks for being out there. Really appreciate you getting more use out of your radio. It's really important. All right, let's see, down on the list, let's try K6YNW, Chris.
Good evening, Tom, and Annette, K6YNW.
All right, Chris, glad to have you out there. I'm going to give a shout for Chip, but I think he's been tied up, not sure. Let's see if he's out there. W6POO, Chip. Now he emailed me and said he wouldn't be out there. It was pretty iffy, so. How about KD6LEN, Bill? And nothing heard there. Moving on down the list here. Let's see, I got AE6CK Victor or Santa Fe Springs. Okay, don't hear Victor out there this evening. Maybe later. How about KA6ROD? Rod, he was on Echolink. Is he out there now?
Good evening, everyone. KA6ROD.
Rod, thanks for the traffic incident report there earlier for anybody using 18. Great help there. Appreciate that. KB6LTY, Christy. Nothing heard. AE6TV, Hans. And nothing heard. All right, that's the list. Majority of the list as I have it. Let's see. Oh, you know what? I know who I forgot. I'm sorry, Art. Art, are you still out there? W6AWL, Art from Sun City. He's probably eating dinner. All right, Art, didn't hear you out there. Maybe we'll catch you in there later. All righty. Well, let's move ahead here. Anybody else out there for guest check-ins, please come back.
K9AOG, Long Beach.
W6JET.
All right, Stephen, K9AOG from Long Beach. Glad to hear you out there. I'm going to put you on the regular list here. You're in there just about every week. Glad to see you out there from the all the groups you have down there. W6JET, one of our newer members to the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club. I take it you're probably in Temple City.
No, I'm still up here at Sugarloaf for a couple more days.
All right, extended his lease on God's country. All right, Rob, glad to see you up here, so, and glad to see you checking in here. Anybody else out there for a guest?
KJ6TAE.
All right, and your name, please?
Jeff in Mojave.
All right, Jeff in Mojave, yes, good signal again. Especially, I think you're using 5 watts, right?
Yeah, handheld at 5 watts.
Isn't that awesome, hitting all the way up here to Big Bear? Incredible. Well, thanks for being out there, Jeff. Anybody else?
Six Tango, India Golf. Timothy checking in from Alhambra. Good evening.
The members of your club that gave the test up there in Big Bear a couple of weeks ago, I believe it was 3 weeks ago maybe, and I just received my license on Thursday last week, and soon we'll be joining your club, maybe 2-3 weeks. Thank you.
Hi, we had two people in there. We had first one was from Alhambra. Heard you out there before. Thank you very much for checking in. And yeah, glad you could make it up here. Sorry we worked down there in Lucerne on the first shot. Had a little issue called snow. Boy, and I think we're almost done with that, but people tell me I'm wrong, but I'm hoping. Glad you got your call sign out there. Yeah, like I said, sometimes it's one, just a few days, and sometimes it's a week and a half. It's how busy the ARRL and the FCC are. Just a reminder there, everything goes out the following Monday, so I get it out there as fast as I can. Well, welcome to Ham Radio, and welcome to Tech Tuesday, and yeah, love to have you as a member of our club, appreciate that. Thanks much. Anybody else out there?
K6BRY, mobile 405 and 110, I was in scan mode, ran across this, can you give me some quick information?
Roger that. Go ahead.
No, I was asking if you could give me some information just on what this is, and I just heard you say Big Bear Amateur Repeater Club.
Okay, roger that. This is the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club Repeater. It's up here in Big Bear, top of one of the ski lifts. This is Tuesday at 1900 hours. We have a informal Tech Tuesday, little real light tech talk, and it happens every Tuesday at 1900 hours, unless there's really severe weather, and it's open net to anybody, and of course the repeater is also an open repeater, and if you enjoy us, enjoy our company, stop by the BBARC, Big Bear Amateur Radio Club, BBARC.org, and we got a lot of information on us, and there's some applications there too, so think about joining the club. But appreciate to have you checking in out there. Glad your scanner caught us.
Yeah, Roger that. Thanks a lot. I really appreciate it. I'll check it out and save it on my presets and have to listen again soon. But yeah, I'm 405 and 110 Mobile Los Angeles, and I hear you loud and clear. K6BRY, Bravo, Romeo, Yankee. Name is Brian.
Okay, Brian, well, you're into the repeater solid, full copy. And yeah, well, it sounds like you're in some traffic there, so drive careful. And we'll chat at you in a bit. Appreciate that. Anybody else out there checking in as a guest?
Kilo Juliet 6 Tango India Golf Timothy checking in from Alhambra. Good evening.
Tango India Golf Alhambra. Yeah, I did catch you earlier in the first part there. And your name, please?
Yes, sir. Name here is Timothy. Timothy.
All right, Timothy from Alhambra. Glad to have you out there this evening with Tech Tuesday. And we do this every week. Feel free to drop by in a week. We'll still be here. All right. Anybody else out there as a guest checking in?
Yes, this is Victor A6K.
Victor, you're not a guest, you're a regular. But glad to have you out there. Missed you there on the check-in. Thanks for being out there, Victor. Appreciate that. Anybody else out there as a guest? All right, I know we have a lot of listeners out there, and anybody out there listening, checked in or not, or whatever, if you have any questions or comments, please feel free to jump in there. We will help you out with that, or actually take your suggestions, except for stopping the net. We can't do that. Anyway, very open net, and hopefully everybody will enjoy this. We're going to do a little thing about the de-expedition of 2011 here to Antarctica's South Oak or Orkney Islands. I don't even know if I said that right. Well, Mike, WB6CLZ, before we start, got a regular old DX report. I'm not sure if things, I heard sunspots were climbing, but has that helped anything or have you had any time?
We're not going to call it the DX report again this week. Haven't had a lot of time, first of the month, and that's busy time for us. But things haven't been that good. There's been sporadic openings here and there. Nothing on this end, though. So hopefully somebody else has been out there playing around and has worked some rare and exotic DX that they want to tell us about, and we'll catch them in a minute. Right now, Space Weather is reporting a sunspot number of 67. Which is a little bit low. Let's see, with a solar flux index of 106 solar flux units. We've just had a minor CME go off, coronal mass injection, for those of you that don't follow this. Basically, a flare that goes off of the sun and then produces, 2 or 3 days later, produces impact here in our magnetosphere. We expect impact from that tomorrow and may make a little bit of a difference, but I don't think it's enough to really do a lot. Other than that, nothing else going on over on this end. Back to you, Tom. KF6Q with Tech Tuesday. This is WB6CLZ.
All right, Mike, appreciate that. And this is KF6Q Net Control Tech Tuesday. Every Tuesday we can, 1900 hours on the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club repeater. Anybody else out there, any DX report, please come back. If not, we'll move ahead. All right, nothing heard out there. Well, Mike, good deal. Didn't hear Quint out there. Normally does our AMSAT report, but he's very, very busy, I know. Is Quint Bradford, K6LCS call sign. Does a lot of ISS one-on-one contacts with school groups. This is something that's arranged way in advance. Awesome, awesome thing he does with kids. Just there is no other great words to say about that. He's coming up here real hard and fast, so I'm sure he's very busy with that. So, Clint, if you're listening, great. And if you're busy with that, even greater yet. All right. South of 60 south. 60 south, meaning I'm going to say that's the 60 degrees south, way down there in Antarctica, south of that. So anyway, Mike, did you get a chance to go through this article? I'm kind of skimming through this myself. Very awesome thing here. You know, and just what do you think? What do you think of de-expeditions just for starters right there? And then I'll do a little explanation on those.
Kind of like a real expensive field day on steroids, I guess you could call it. By golly, I'm reading through this thing, and I'm probably getting a little bit ahead of it, but that okay. These guys spent $750,000 on this de-expedition to get it all packed up, get it there, and operate, and everything. Just blew me away when I read that. 13 of them, and they're spending $15,000 each. Plus, they had a lot of financial support and donations from Northern California DX Foundation, and I'm sure other people. But, yeah, field day on steroids. I think that's a good way to start out.
All right, and for all of you out there who are not familiar with the D-Expedition and what it amounts to, or even Field Day, for that matter, D-Expedition, what it is, it's a group of ham radio operators and affiliates that basically go to some far point in the world, and quite often not on the best of weather conditions, but I think they didn't have too many problems here. No, let's see. No, I don't know. Maybe they did. But what they do is they set up mobile ham stations, and of course they have to survive through this. They'll do a temporary shelter and then just basically start getting on there and contacting other hams in the world. And it's kind of a really cool thing because really where they're set up is like a one-time shot for that particular location or that particular year. So it's kind of neat. You can get I'm sure they have QSL cards for that. Kind of like when the QSL card is like saying, hey, you know what? Yes, I did talk to you. Kind of like a collection thing. Very good collectible for hams. Let me reset. And if you're a member of the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club, or you want to be, or if you just want to come by our meeting, did get my DVD in the mail, only about a day late, but I do have this from Peter the First Island, which is also down in Antarctica. It's a one-hour video documentation showing the setup, the teardown, and all the problems they had. 2006, Peter the First Island, it's about a one-hour video, and we didn't have it in time for this last club meeting, but it will be coming up in April, so bring your own popcorn, though. We will have donuts and coffee. Anyway, Mike, back to you real quick. 60 South. I'm not a geographic kind of guy. I guess that's just way on down there, right?
I would think a place parallel with near the tip of Argentina from what I'm reading here. I didn't really look it up. I'll Google it when I kick it back to you and we'll see exactly where it is. I believe it's south of the tip of Argentina. It looks like they set up six transceivers. So not probably one of the biggest D-Expeditions. There was one here a while back, and I know they had 13 or 14. But it sounds like they got a little weather. Sounds like they had a couple of issues here and there. But very, very interesting. They were going through ice. Titanic hit iceberg fields and all kinds of neat stuff going down there. Kind of scary. But yeah, it looks like it's down south. I'm going to Google that and I'm going to kick it back to you, Tom.
Okay, well, they have the southern tip there of the Argentina, very bottom of South America, which what they call the Drakes or the Drake area, probably, and I'm sure this is a fact, named after Sir Francis Drake, who sailed this a zillion years ago with almost no equipment or anything like we would even. These guys had guts. What they say there? Wooden ships and iron men, of course, way back when. With that, picturing what they went through back then, well, up in this day and age, going through this area is still notorious for storms and rough seas. So this is just getting to the area. I would fly in, but maybe they can't. I don't know. They're on the boat because they have all the flies on the boat. And you know, this is awesome that hams will take their own time and money. Of course, they do have sponsors. They go down there. So if you get into HF radio, which if you just got your tech license, or you got a tech license, think about getting that general. You'll be you can always buy a radio and listen to these guys, but if you get your general class license, you can talk to these guys. It's pretty awesome. This stuff happens every year. Let me reset. Every year they have some sort of de-expedition going on some place in the world, and quite often many times in the world, more than one. I think the ones that are down there by Antarctica because of such severe conditions are very famous. And you know, like I said, there's more than one. There's a lot of these happening in the past. Go to the ARRL site and their video area, their store, you'll find lots of cool stuff. A lot of the stuff that's available, not real expensive, pretty neat stuff, so appreciate if you pay them a visit. ARL really supports ham radio a lot. So, well, Mike, what have you found out in this term, KF60?
city that they headed out for, and then I guess they just went out to an island off the coast, it sounds like. But they call it the southernmost city in the world. So I guess it is pretty darn far south. It's the capital city of the Tierra del Fuego province in Argentina. And you're right, it is down there. The weather is just nasty. As a matter of fact, there's a quote in here about they wanted to wait till the weather cleared up a little bit to shove off and get out to get into their operating site. And the captain said, well, if they waited for the weather to clear up, they never would go. So pretty nasty weather. That's some of the most nasty weather in the world right there. So, yep. Yeah, it's about as down far as south as you could get and still be on the continent, I guess, without falling off the edge.
Yeah, I think the only thing I don't see here in this article is a great four-page article here done up, you know, in ARRL. Michael Mraz, call sign N6MZ. Really great stuff. You could have had probably a map here just showing, like, here we were at this point, or they were. But either way, an amazing thing about HF radio, it doesn't take much more than a long wire set up properly. There are people here in Big Bear with no more than 100 watts. That's your basic HF radio. It's pretty stock standard. And wire and stuff, just really common stuff, done the right way. Talked to Tasmania, talking to Europe, talking to Russia. And Mike, just real quick, I know that before you had your loop, you were still doing a lot of DX, correct?
QSL, we usually try to run 5 watts, try to run QRP, and I'm not a QSL card type of guy, logbook of the world or anything. I just do it to kind of play around, and I like the idea of putting 5 watts into the ether and talking mostly around the world. 10 meters, my favorite band, and you don't need a heck of a lot of equipment. Anybody with a tech license and basically a vertical antenna could play around on 10 meters when it's hot and talk all around the world with very low power.
Well, cool. So all you tech guys out there, if you got an HT, that's fantastic. And I know times are tight, very difficult to get out there and buy more radio equipment. But look around. There's always stuff available out there. A lot of times you'll find estate sales. You will find yard sales, believe it or not. People just liquidating things off of other, you know, estates and whatever. Good chance to pick something up. I have actually bought a radio as cheap as $2. Fully working single band 2 meter mobile radio. Yeah, it was probably the best find in the world for $2. I cannot believe it. But anyway, they're out there. They're out there, and there's more out there too. So, well, Mike, real quick for the listeners out there, we're talking about D-Expeditions. We're talking about 60 South. That's way down the other end of the world. We're kind of like way up this side. Is that possible? Can we do that? For the average person out there is thinking like, well, I know my HT will do about 20 miles. So, but that happens, huh? And I know with 5 watts still it happens. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, certainly. For instance, this D-Expedition here, they had very nice antennas. They were using verticals. It says here they strung out miles and miles of radials, radio wire. So they had really good antennas, and that is one of the keys to good DX with low power is good antennas. These guys, though, they were running Elecraft K3s, which have one of the probably the first or second best receiver available, you know, without going commercial stuff. And they were using, it didn't say how many watts of amplifiers, but they're ACOM amplifiers. I'm not familiar with it. But I'm sure they were putting out probably at least 500 watts per station. So running a little bit of power. And they were working stations in the U.S. I guess there was an issue there with a mountain that blocked kind of the low angle radiation from the north to North and South America, but I guess they were still making a lot of contacts in North and South America. So, yeah, with just very minimal equipment, you probably could have worked them, especially on CW and probably on sideband too.
Okay, CW. A little interesting thing here. Let's see. You're running a little CW monitoring net Monday through Friday?
Yeah, I'm not having much luck. when I'm around, I'm still working part time. But when I'm around, when I'm in the office here, I monitor 3560. That's 3.560. And we've called that the BBARCCW net frequency. So if anybody has any time during the week, I know it's kind of an oddball time, but it's probably the only time that I can really get out and stay around here for any time. Come on up there, send your call sign, I'll send QRZ, do anything, and if I'm there, I'll come back to you and we'll have a little short QSO. Just trying to get my CW speed, CW procedure up, and hopefully other people would want to do that and meet me over there.
Well, Mike, from what I understand, now, even at that, on using CW, which is Morse code, and yeah, I know, Morse code, that's old school stuff. It's surprising, though, people are, who when you now do not need Morse code for any of the ham licenses, that more people are learning it anyway because it is pretty much foolproof to get through the worst conditions, and that's why it was invented in the first place by good old Samuel Morsemiller. That basically he was looking at telegraph, but hey, well, it still works. Anyway, Mike, in that area, if I had a tech license, and I really don't know Morse code very well, so I've kind of got this little trainer site online to learn a little bit of that. Are you willing to like send code out there slow enough so I can do it?
I can send anywhere from 2 words a minute to probably 20 words a minute. I'm not saying I'm really good up there at 20 words a minute, but I've got a couple of hand keys here that they can go pretty slow. So, yeah, and I try to be pretty patient. So if anybody wants to meet me up there, you know, just I'll send any speed you want me to send at.
Okay, well, that's pretty cool. So if you're out there and you got a tech license and you're probably, like, really all enthused with that, but if you ever want to get involved with that, you know, Mike's sticking with this for a while. And I know Mike, he's stuck with me for 2 years going on three now with Tech Tuesday. Thanks very much, Mike. Appreciate that. So he'll be out there for some time. But, yeah, you want to work on that. It's a good prepper thing if you're into prepper stuff. And the cool part is we will be coming out with that shortly, but there's a lot of really do-it-yourself stuff or really cheap kits to put together a kit. You don't have a lot of money, you can't find that great deal out there at a yard sale. There are kits online. Just do a Google on amateur radio kits. It'll bring up a whole bunch of stuff. Go through there, and if you have any questions or want some recommendations, feel free to ask. We have the answers. We can help you out with that at bkf6q@arrl.net or wb6clz@arrl.net. That's just two R's net. I think that's what I said. Anyway, and Mike and I will help you with that, move on to that next step or any questions about that. So that's what we're here for. This is what Tech Tuesday is all about. We're just trying to help everybody out there, share information, and push ahead. Well, Mike, I'm assuming that they did do CW down there, right, on this de-expedition?
That's what I'm doing is assuming. Yeah, I'm sure they did, Tom, and I'm scanning through that now. It didn't really mention that I saw what modes they were operating, but I know that the gear they had is definitely highly capable of doing that. So I'm scanning right now, and I don't see anything. Ah, yes, they did. Falling asleep in the middle of CW exchanges on 160 meters. So, yeah, they did. They had CW. I know they had sideband. They had 20-meter RTTY digital, which they think that they may made one of the first digital contacts from that area of the world. So kind of cool.
Yeah, I see here too in the article, not only 160, but 30 meters, 40 meters, a lot of stuff out there. I'm sure they had all the bands covered with CW and voice. Pretty cool, and that's one thing. As a tech, you can still do CW on not all the bands, but on a few of the bands. Just Google up the ARRL ham bands, and you'll end up with a chart there. It'll show you what you can do with the tech license. Or, hey, 35 questions, and I believe it's 26 to pass. Is it 9? I should know this by heart. Anyway, study up for that. Take your test, get your general upgrade, and you don't have to worry about that so much. You're still limited to certain bands and areas, but you got them mostly covered. So good deal there, and if you want to find out more about that, too, we do ham testing up here in Big Bear. There's a lot of other TAM sites around the Inland Empire and out in the desert. So I can help you out with that information too. Same email, KF62 at ARRL.net. Yeah, Mike, I think they had everything covered. Well, you know what? If I was going to Antarctica, I'd want to be doing everything I can down there with ham radio.
Yeah, the amplifiers are probably warm enough to keep you warm, too. But real quick, I'm looking at my HF band plan right now, and techs have a little bit of CW in 80 meters, a little CW in 40 meters, 15 meters, quite a bit, and also 10 meters CW and a little bit of phone.
Watch that. Actually, you look at 68 on the article, and the contacts they made, actually 66% of the contacts they made down there were CW, 7 by RTTY, which is radio telephone teletype, into the, we'll call it the digital packet mode, also 27% on single sideband, so the majority were in CW.
Comment.
Go ahead, comment.
Mike, WB6CLZ. Oh, well, and I think, Tom, you know, and everybody else probably knows that the reason they use CW a lot is it's probably the most efficient and simple form of communications you can get through with CW when sideband, and some of the digital modes will get through, but CW is down and dirty. Tom, I think there is somebody trying to get in maybe to make a comment. Why don't you open that up for them?
Roger that. Yeah, go ahead, comment.
Yeah, hey, Tom, this is Ron, WA6HF. I don't know if you guys know this or not. I'm sure you probably do, but a really good trainer for CW is, it's called G4FON, Golf 4, Foxtrot Oscar November, and you can download that free on the web. It's a CW trainer, and you can inject like S9 noise levels and do all kinds of tricky stuff with it. It's pretty cool.
Well, fantastic. Appreciate that information. Yeah, because you know what? It's really, I hate to say it, but even as technology moves forward, CW really has just got it really locked in there, being probably one of the most reliable long-distance communication methods with ham radio. So even though it was required from the beginning and a lot of people have that ability, whether it be rusty or what, a lot of the newbies are getting out there and learning this anyway, and it's pretty cool. Really a really cool way to communicate, and I do believe, Mike, wasn't there something you sent out that they're actually doing this? I got that email, but I didn't read the whole story. What was that about?
Yeah, that was called Google Tap, and it is an app for for the iPhone. As it turns out, that was an April Fool's joke. But as I got into it a little bit more, I found out that there actually are applications for the iPhone and for the Android. Bill, W6DBO, as a matter of fact, just sent me an email today using his Android, an Android app, and he tapped it out in CW to send it to me. So there are apps for your iPhones and for your Androids that will actually use CW to code in to text with, which I think is kind of cool.
Okay, so Bill sent this to you, and I got a little more information here with Bill. He's starting a new net here on Saturdays. But before we get to that, so you basically tap the iPad like you would tap a mouse pad and actually send Morse code?
QSL, a little bar comes up on your phone, you know, on the phone. It's a touch screen. I am not an Android or an iPhone guy. I just haven't got there yet. I don't have the need right now. But apparently one side is a dot and a little square is a dash, and you just tap it like you would, basically a paddle, only it's horizontal rather than vertical, and tap in dots and dashes, and it writes it up in text. And then you can just send it.
That has got to be the ultimate, using probably the most advanced communications for the public of a smartphone, but still using that to the advantage of either learning or sending Morse code. Very awesome. Very awesome how these technologies overlap. So real quick before I forget, yes, at 8 o'clock on... for the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club, we do have a net. This is on the HF band of 3.935. That would be megahertz, right? Yeah, okay. 3.935 megahertz. And at 8 o'clock, we have a single sideband, lower sideband, of course, net for members. Guests are welcome. At 8:30, Bill Young, W6BBL, is starting a net of the digital mode. Gonna say it's PSK31. I do believe if you checked in on single sideband on the net just prior, our net usually runs about 15 minutes. Prior to that, you could probably make contact with him on single sideband. I think he's using the upper sideband for the PSK31, which is very, very, very narrow bandwidth. So pretty cool stuff. Gotta have digital mode, gotta have single sideband. Got to have some setups like that, but this will be starting this Saturday coming up at 3935 kilohertz or 3.935 megahertz, same frequency, upper sideband at 8:30, basically PSK31. So anyway, back to you, Mike.
I think that's going to be very interesting. Also, you know, we have the BBARC here also has a morning rag chew, we call it, on the same frequency, 3935 kilohertz. And we start about 9 o'clock in the morning, and yeah, it doesn't last very long, 9:30 usually, maybe. By 10 o'clock, we're definitely all out of there. But anybody has any free time in the morning, meet up on that frequency. There's a group of usually anywhere from three of us to, gosh, sometimes it gets five, six, seven of us, and we just pass it around and talk about different topics. It's very interesting. That's every weekday morning at 9 o'clock.
Oh, good information there, Mike. And I try to get in there when I can. Biggest problem I have is I'm not old enough, but I'm not. Just kidding. No, anybody's welcome, and that's awesome. Like I said, if you're you got some free time there from 9 o'clock to basically 10 o'clock, Monday through Friday. Saturday at 8 o'clock, of course, is the net, and 9 o'clock, the 2-meter net right here for the club. So anyway, that would be bbarc.org. It has all that information. It's all posted there. And check that out, and don't forget to fill out one of those apps. Anyway, Mike, pretty cool stuff. Still haven't fixed my HF antenna, but you said the other night on the ECS net, coming out, they're okay.
We'll get over there and tune it up one of these days, Tom. Yeah, no, good signal. We want to get you a loop up there, and then you can reach through the whole Southern California. I know you've been busy, but one of these days you and I are going to get together, and we're going to play around with that.
Good deal. And Mike, I had a lot of interest, actually. I've heard through the grapevine, for all of you who do not know, Tech Tuesday Net here did not do this last year, had it 2 years ago. We had antenna workshops. We're going to try to get back into that a little more. We've tried to utilize some of the pre-club meeting stuff up here. Possibly we can even take some of this stuff off the hill. So pretty cool stuff. If you're just starting out, really great way to build with nickels and dimes, almost no money, to build like a J-pole or an emergency J-pole. Mike did a great example of that with just using twin lead. A lot of good stuff there. We have the ways and means to do basically commercial quality or better antennas for a very low budget. So anyway, more information on that later. Back to you, Mike. Let me throw it out there real quick. Anybody out there with any questions or comments, please come back.
YNW.
Yes, Chris. Go ahead.
Two things. High frequency, I've only been on CW with one exception. Neat. And you get a good CW operator on a field day, and that guy's going to pick up most of the points. K6YNW.
And actually, Chris, you know, that is correct. I think in the past field days up here, we have a pretty good group here that focuses on CW. And yes, they are the point getters. There's no doubt about that. It's pretty cool stuff. And just anybody out there listening, Big Bear Amateur Radio Club will be having their field day this year. Same place, same station. Actually, many stations out there at Bear Mountain parking lot. That's our intent, pulling all the stuff together for that, so stay tuned for that. That'll be on June 23rd and 24th, the last full weekend. The following weekend, Saturday is June, Sunday is July, so field day this year will be on the third weekend in June, and that's nationwide. Great fun, great camaraderie, a whole lot of fun. If you're up in the Big Bear area, drive all the way to the end of Moon Ridge, we'll be up here, and that's our intent, open to the public. Basically, we love to have people come in, and if you're a ham operator, drop on by, we'll throw you on a station, have you know, get you out there operating, pretty cool stuff. Anyway, that'll be June 23rd, 24th, and more information on coming up. Mike, let's see, we're getting close to the end here, anything else to add?
I've got a comment for Chris. Chris, you should get up and take a look at that on field day. There is a CW key on the operating station for the CW position, but they are so sophisticated now. It's seldom used. It's macros. It's a keyboard and a computer. So everything is so automated. Logging is automated. So on field day, they make a lot of points on CW. But it's pretty, surgical. Very interesting, though. It's something to see. I mean, they've got a real neat setup there.
Mike, don't give away all the secrets. Yeah, it is. There's a lot of automation in there, which helps as far as sending out the call sign, the CQ, the field day, but it's still pretty cool. Pretty cool. Anyway, anybody else out there with comments?
Yeah, YNW again. Yep. You press a button, it sends out the call and all that stuff, and it saves the fist. K6YNW.
Pretty cool. Hey, Chris, real quick question. You're down there in Palm Springs area. Are you a member of the Desert Rats?
Sure am.
All right, had some conversation with Glenn. Got an ongoing or a possible project this year for our club that he's going to help us with. So, great guy. Just want to commend. He's your president, is that correct?
That's correct. And interesting, he visited a neighboring club kind of stuffed up. So he came to our club, everyone welcomed him. A year and a half later, he's president.
Well, he seems like a great guy, and spent some time with him on the phone and a couple emails, and this is the beginning. So we got some great things planned, and whether they all happen this year or next year or whatever, but he's been a great help, so just want to let you know about that. Anyway, anybody else out there, we're getting ready to close the net, getting close to 8 o'clock, and any questions or comments, please come back.
Okay, YNW again here.
Go ahead, Chris.
Yes, last year, and they're going to do it this year, the Desert Rats are going up to Angel View up in Yucca Valley, I think it is. They put up something like a rhombic with about 300 feet on each leg and 5 watts, you know, got easily to the east. Of course, they hurt a lot, too. Kind of a mess there. K6YNW.
Oh, good deal there. And anybody who's interested, there's a lot of information on the Desert Rats Club, kind of our sister club down there. We're up in the mountains. When they're active down there in the desert, and it's nice, we're up here fighting snow, and it flip-flops in the summertime. So anyway, pretty cool. That's one thing about hams. Hey, we don't care. We'll find some place to go where it's nice. Anyway, anybody out there, any comments or questions, please come back.
KJ68.
Yes, go ahead.
This is a fairly beginner question, but you were talking about the DX and the HF stuff. I'm kind of curious about that. Just real briefly, is it mostly done with Morse code and the conversations? Do you just get a hold of somebody somewhere in the world and say, hey, how's the weather? Here's where I'm at. And how big is this antenna that you need? You know, is it 10 meters long? I'm just kind of wondering about the real basics.
Well, trying to sum this up in a nutshell for you. Number one, majority of the people out there are voice, basically single sideband, but basically voice, just like what we're doing right here. There is a good a whole lot of people out there with CW, but you know, majority is voice. Second is the type of antenna and length of the antenna or height, whatever, actually depends on which frequency you want to use. 20 meters is a very, very popular band. Being that it's 20 meters, it's basically a half-wave dipole is 10 meters. That's 30 feet. So you could actually get going with, say, you know, 30 foot, you know, 10 meters, which would be about 33 feet or something like that. Or even down to the 10-meter band, which there is single sideband there for a tech licensed person. It's not FM. What we're using right now is FM modulation, but it's single sideband, so you would have to have a radio for that. There's a little part of that spectrum that techs can use. It is voice, just like we're doing right here. And 10 meters, of course, the antenna is basically half of that, halfway. 5 meters, basically, I think, 15, 16 feet, 17 feet, something like that. So it could be a vertical, it could be a horizontal, it could be a piece of wire, it could be anything. So real basic and simple to get set up. Do you have to have a radio? A lot of 10-meter only radios out there for sale, and actually for sale reasonable because most people want to have radios that's got a lot more bands. So if you, they're out there, so I hope that's helped.
Yeah, thank you. And then just real quickly, is a QSO generally just a brief hello, how are you, let's exchange cards?
Yeah, a lot of people, basically just like Mike and myself, you know, when we do get on there, and he gets on there more than I do, kind of rags you, you know, hey, how you doing, talking to some guy you've never met before from Georgia, or maybe the guy's in Europe, or maybe the guy's in Japan, hopefully speaking English. But, you know, or whatever part of the world, some people send them out, some people don't. Used to be really, really common. QSL cards, a little thing you mail, kind of like a postcard. Just a physical verification. I've seen some people with a whole wall plastered with these. So, kind of collector thing. It's probably not done as much as it used to be, but I think it's pretty cool. It's kind of like a record that you talk to this guy at that point in time, and safety. And then, Mike, real quick, Mike, if you're out there, Logbook of the World, real quick, that keeps track of the same thing, and is that through the ARRL?
That is through the ARRL. I don't use Logbook of the World because I'm not really I don't go for cards and all that. I've got a ton of them here on the wall from the 70s and early 80s, but so I really don't do that. But I'll talk quick here, Tom, because I know it's getting late. I have gone up to the Pacific Crest Trail with a 5-watt radio, a Yaesu FT-817, on sideband, which is voice, and when conditions are right on 10 meters, from a location on the Pacific Crest Trail in Big Bear, I've talked to Asia, Europe, South America, Africa, and all over the United States with 5 watts. So either a little vertical antenna, like a whip, a loaded base, loaded whip, they call it, that's probably 4 or 5 feet extended, or a piece of electrical wire, THHN 12, number 14, building wire thrown out into a tree. So, when conditions are right, it's a lot of fun.
KF6Q here, check Tuesday net. Hey, we're going to extend the net just for that purpose. Well, right there, as you can see, and I know you're just the interest is you're just like saying, like, wow, this is incredible. We do have an incredible footprint with this repeater. And this is why we do this TechNet. We try to get everybody out there, especially the newcomers, people out there just got their license, really not too sure what's going on out there. But, hey, there's a so close to the anniversary of the Titanic sinking, but you've just hit the tip of the iceberg. It's fantastic. The stuff you can do. Some people like to do this, some people are interested, and some are not. Ham radio has about a zillion, literally, different aspects to it, different frequencies, different modes, different things you can do, and there's a lot of different stuff out there, whether it's just basic communications for emergencies, or a whole lot of fun contacting the other part of the world with 5 watts, Mike. My goodness, I know. It's just incredible. You just can't. You say, well, CB was 5 watts. No. CB, not even crappy band. It doesn't even work. It's just we're ham radio operators. We're the professional amateurs. Put it that way. Back to you. Go ahead. I hope this has really got you going on some of this stuff. Go ahead.
K6BB.
All right. Well, anyway, whoever was out there just got your license. Hope you're still out there, but if you're not, you're still listening. Hopefully this has helped you out. Anybody else out there, it's fantastic. All right. Any other comments or questions? Go ahead. Just come back to KF6Q.
BCK?
Adam, BCK, are you in Garden Grove?
Yeah, for this week.
Go ahead, Adam.
Well, I got my tech license either last year or the year before, but what I want to know is how different is the general test from the tech test? Because I remember the tech test was mainly knowledge of, like, basic terms and stuff and all the different stuff, but I heard that the general test is more calculations.
The general test, of course, just to anybody out there who's listening, this is public information on the ARRL site. It's easily downloadable in PDF format. It has the entire question pool for tech, general, and extra. So it's out there. You'll see all the questions. The general test itself, in my opinion, is a little more detailed than the tech. Still 35 questions, same, you have to get the same number right. A little more detailed number-wise, mathematics-wise for what you're used to. This is cakewalk stuff. But basically, it's simple math, a little bit of this and that, couple of formulas, not very much, basic stuff. And the extra is a little bit more. That's quite a bit more. 50 questions and a little bit more in technical stuff. and it adds just a few more frequencies on some of the bands, you know, for your, you know, what you can operate. The general, if basically we just had a guide test, our last test session of March, which was, a couple weeks ago. And basically he took the tech and general both, passed them both, got 100% on both, studied up for that. Because basically if you're going to take the tech test, you could basically just a little more study, you know, and it's just a little more depth, and you'll probably pass the general too.
Comment?
Thanks, because I'm thinking of hopefully getting my general before I go off to college this year.
Okay, well, Adam, we got a comment in there. Go ahead.
Yeah, KJ6KDL here. If you want to look the official website, I know it's on ARRL, but you can read up a little bit more on this. It's the National Conference of Volunteer Examiner Coordinators, ncvec.org. And you can go down the left column, there's the amateur question pools, and you can read up on the pools as well and pull down those lists and read through them. And don't forget, QRZ.com has some good quiz pools in there. KJ6KDL.
Thanks, Jim. Appreciate that. Jim is one of our, well, I would say he's a rookie. He's past a year, but probably really got into the 2-meter stuff and tech. We're trying to get him to do the general, but he's, you know, he had a very busy schedule, so. I have two people that are neighbors studying to take their tech. And the thing is they were actually studying for their general instead, which was just where they logged on to QRZ. So they're actually going to get a good head start there, but if we see them just do the tech, will be great. So, well, Adam, I would say that with a little study, and I say from what you're used to doing, it would be just that, just a little study, and you'd wing it.
Thanks, and I'm really hopefully looking forward to that. Yeah, I think it's Gordon Webb's. I think actually those books actually really help. That and the QRZ website, which I think if I'm right, it has the practice test, but those actually really help with timing and stuff.
And I know there's a lot of sites down, you know, off the hill, but as you know, or maybe you don't know, okay, I'm the test liaison guy up here. For Big Bear Valley. Not that there couldn't be two, but it seems to be like I'm the only guy out there doing it. I have a very, very good VE team up here. Pretty much took Mark's place when he left the mountain. And we will, and I have people that will, on a moment's notice, we can put something together. So, but we always do have the last Sunday of the month, all year long, except for December, if it's, you know, falls on Christmas, it did last year. And sometimes we test multiple times. This month we're testing on the third week for the CERT group. We are also testing a week later on our normal test schedule, which is posted with the ARRL and a lot of the emergency groups up here with San Bernardino County Fire, you know, and many other areas up here, plus on our club website. So go for it, Adam. You could do it. I mean, if anybody could do it, for you, it'd probably be a piece of cake. I know a lot of other people, it's not that easy, but I think for what you're used to, it wouldn't be that hard.
Thanks, Tom. That helps. This is KJ6BCK. I guess as my uncle would say, maliciously listening.
And sometimes I think he does, but he just never seems to want to jump in here on Tech Tuesday, but that's okay. He's had some excellent suggestions of directions of our club this year, and we're trying to move forward with a couple things. So, well, good deal there, Adam. Appreciate that. Anybody else out there, extended session of Tech Tuesday? Not a problem. We've done this before. Any other questions out there or comments, please come back. All right. Well, Mike, Great things here they do with these de-expeditions, fantastic. Next week we will probably be actually doing that, the radio communications, which is the article prior to this, of basically the unfortunate incident of the Titanic, however it did happen, and ham radio or radio communications actually were a great part of that compared to the way it was and how long ago it was. Pretty awesome. So we'll probably do that a week from now. Mike, anything else to say? Final closing.
Another good Tech Tuesday. I always enjoy it. Adam, I'll put a little plug in here. My wife, Cindy, WB6CIN, passed her tech and her general on the same day. You can do it. Guaranteed you can do it. She had no ham radio experience other than being married to me for 42 years, but really didn't pay much attention to it. So, yeah, when she decided to do it, you know, got it both the same day, you can do it too. Good Tech Tuesday, Tom. I'm glad to hear we're going to do that Titanic one next week. I've read that article. That is very interesting. And I knew Sam Morris the III, so it'll be a good one. Back to you, Tom.
KF6Q here, Tech Tuesday on the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club repeater, extended Tech Tuesday. Well, let's see, I didn't know anybody other than the fact that my one of my daughters liked, thought Leonardo DiCaprio was cute. Anyway, okay, well, I guess that doesn't count. Okay, he's not commenting on that, and I don't blame him. I wouldn't either. All right, good deal. Everybody out there, if you're listening up, we'll hang out here for a little bit on the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club repeater. Please check out our club site, bbarc.org. Pretty cool site. Put together a great webmaster we have call sign Randy, KC6JTN. Anyway, Randy Fear, great webmaster. And previous office holder of the club, if not more than that. Also previous trustee for a few years of the repeater. Anyway, QST. This is Tom Fry, KF6Q, acting as net control and actually operating as net control both at the same time. For the Tech Tuesday net, closing the net, a little extended here, 1900 hours and 11 minutes, returning the repeater to normal use. Thanks again. Please join us again a week from now. It's KF6Q.